Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. We just come before you, Lord, as we go to the Word. We ask you, Lord, you quicken our minds and our hearts, that we may be able to hear it. Lord, that we may be able to put it to work in our lives. Lord, that we can see the results, Lord, in us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the things you are going to do, Lord. And Lord, for the victory that comes, Lord, as we go to it, Lord, and receive, accept it, hear it, and put it to work, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the kingdom of God, I continue on that because I don't know how long it's going to take to finish this series, but this is an important thing that has to do everything with our experiences. You know, and often, you know, in history, the past, people were seeing the kingdom of God as something that's going to come in the future. When Jesus went up and let the Holy Spirit come on us, that's when the kingdom of God started to work down on earth. And we should see that manifested more and more as the time that when he is going to be back is getting closer and closer. And so we have to understand all the implications. And one of the big implications of that is born-again believers should not have any bondage. Because Jesus paid for the curse of the law and all the other curses. And so we should walk free. Free from all the things that hinder our walk with him. Free from all the things that are affecting our ability to actually follow God and to receive from him. This is God's plan. This is God's desire. This is God's way. And we have to accept, understand, go to the Word and receive from the Word what the Word says about it. You know, Galatians is very clear. You know, Christ has redeemed, 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law and become a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, hallelujah, may come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, our faith is very important for us to be able to connect with the reality of the kingdom. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing, the kingdom of God now. And we have to realize and understand that our faith is the key for us to be able to accept and see that manifested in our lives. You know, one of the key scriptures that we should really open up and receive is 2 Peter 1:3 and following. It's his divine nature has given us all things. Now, can you say, has given us all things? What does it mean? Some of it, all things. That means we know all the things that we need are ours. But we have to come to the place in which that becomes a reality. You know, in reality, many believers don't experience that. Okay? And many believers don't even believe that. And that's not what should be the case. We should be able, you know, when we go to the Word and we read something there, if doesn't match, if our experience, if our reality does not match what the Word says that we should have, you know, there is evidence that there is a problem in our position. And we had to open up to the Spirit of God to show us how to get there and to start the first part is to accept what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God is truth. Amen. His Word is true in their life. And we had to open up to that truth before it's going to be manifested, because the way when we open up and we receive it by faith, then he can start working in us to bring it to pass. So bondages should be something that we should come against in Jesus' name to break loose from all the limitation that the enemy tries to put on us. And here it's very clear. You know, all his divine have given all things that pertain to godliness through and life and godliness through the knowledge of him. You see, the importance is to know, to have that knowledge. You have to know what is yours. If you don't know that God wants to save you, you are not going to get saved. If you don't know that God wants to heal you, you are not going to get healed. If you don't know that God wants to prosper you, you don't know, you're not going to prosper you, because possibly you think, you know what, it's a bad thing. Well, just read the whole Bible and see what it says, because, you know, it's not just one scripture. You know, you have to take the whole thing and put it together so they minister to you and you really discern. You know, God doesn't contradict himself. In one place doesn't say something and the next place says something else. So you have to always, the good way to see if you believe the right things or not is to see, does it match with everything else that goes in the world? Not according to your logic, but according to the Spirit. Because there are many things that we interpret in the way we want to interpret it, because we have been indoctrinated in a certain way. It's not the way we have been indoctrinated, it's what God meant when he wrote it. Through the people that he anointed to write it. So we have to be open to the Holy Spirit, to allow him to give us revelation, because the word cannot be analyzed logically. Need to be received spiritually, needs to be discerned. The carnal man cannot, and it's foolishness to the carnal man. It's foolishness to your logic many times. You know, when God makes a miracle, doesn't make any sense from a logical point of view. It makes sense from the word point of view, though. Because the word very clearly show that that's what should happen. That's what we should expect from God. God is bigger than nature. He's supernatural. Amen. And so he's going to operate in the supernatural. And we as believers, the word says that all things are possible for us. That means, you know, we are not limited by the natural things. That's why we pray for people. They have pain and the pain goes. You know, does it make any sense? Absolutely not. You know, somebody can look at it, he's making it up. Well, they don't have never experienced it. That's why they can say that. Hello? Amen. Praise the Lord. So how can you stop about talking about the kingdom? It's so beautiful. Okay? You know, the way it works, you know, in the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. I mean, glory, you know, he calls us to glory and virtue. I mean, we can come into the glory of the Lord in a way that, I mean, this might be the next topic. But, you know, we can come into his presence. And as we come into his presence, there is nothing that can stop to rub on to us. You know, it's the fullness of joy in the presence of God. See, we expect tonight, as we are coming together to worship him, you know, that his presence is going to come here in a special way, and we are going to come out just charged up. Amen. You know, when we pray, we should not be finishing our prayer the way we started. Because if we meet God, we cannot be the same as before. Amen. When we meet God, he changes us. He gives us strength, he gives us courage, he gives us gifts. He's a loving God. Amen. Okay? So, I'm not going to be able to finish today this, but anyway, we'll see. Okay, so virtue, which have been given to us, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. I mean, that's the way it works. He makes promises to us. And he is not somebody that's lying. He is not a man that he should lie. When he makes a promise, he's going to keep it. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ, to the glory of God through us. Hallelujah. See, there we bring glory to God when we receive from God. It's not that we do, you know, he does us a favor only. I mean, we benefit from it. You know, bless the Lord on my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. You know, all the benefits that we get, not to forget them. Amen? Amen. Okay, so through with this, through the promises, as I said, exceedingly great and precious promises. Can you say that? Exceedingly great and precious promises. What mean exceedingly? I mean, means they are exceedingly. They are more than what we can expect, other places say. So, you know, and but the key, you know, and this is through, and that through this, we may be partaker of the divine nature. You know, that's what we come, so I, you know, partaker of the divine nature. So we become, our the divine nature is almost, we become partaker of it. Partaker means it becomes part of us. I mean, his divine nature attributes, his DNA is passed on to us. See, a new believer's DNA is not the one from his ancestors, is the one that comes from Jesus. There is not behind that story. You know, our story stops with Jesus because our effect of our the past and our generation, the previous generation is gone. Because we are born again with a new spirit and a new life. And the old things are gone away. So we should be free from all the junk that came before. Amen. Hello? Amen. We have to believe it. And we have to realize sometime we actually are carrying some of the things because we have accepted it. You see, it doesn't have any power on us, but we give the power to the enemy because we believe it, or because we looked at it, or because we thought about it, and because maybe somebody told us. We don't need to listen to that junk. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. And your past, you know, but part of the cleanup of your past is really to come to realize and appropriate that we can be free from all bondages. Amen. And all limitations that the world put us. Walk like Jesus. So in Jesus give, you know, and God give us the instruction. Give us the instruction of how to come to that place. We have to understand the instructions. And we have to apply them to our life. If you apply them to our life, you know, maybe not the things that happen overnight, they happen over a period of time because there are maybe a number of things that we have allowed ourselves, maybe before we were born again, but even after we're born again, if you don't know, if you don't have the understanding, you cannot receive it. So you need to have the understanding. Hallelujah. And there are very specific instructions from God on how to get free from all the bondages. But first of all, you see, you have to see the bondage you have. Because otherwise you are not, you know, if you accept it as normal, because everybody has the same problems, well, then you're going to keep it. It's automatic because it's your position with respect to what you believe according to your faith is done unto you. So what you believe, you live. And if you want to know what you believe, it's not what is inside your head and your theology or what you heard at church or whatever. What you think is really look at your life and you know what you believe. Because that's a manifestation of your faith, of your belief. All right? So you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and show you, you know, one of the basic instructions on how to get free. Says there, be sober. You know, really sober there reflect only part of the things. You know, it means temperate, self-restrained. I mean, those don't get all worked up for nothing. Be sober and vigilant. That means awake. That means watchful, aware of what's going on. Not just on the physical level, but also on the spiritual level. Okay, because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. You know, and that means just it walks like a roaring lion. That means he's not, because he actually has no authority today. He's been defeated, and because he's been defeated, anything that he does is illegal. Hello? Yes. Can you say it's illegal?
It's illegal.
He's a thief. That's why Jesus said, you know, I give you abundant life, and the thief comes but to kill and steal and destroy. He calls him a thief. A thief has not the right to do what he's doing, but he does it anyway because he wants to steal.
That's right.
And that's what he does. He doesn't have Jesus destroyed, show the principalities and power, the victory that yet, but he just still tries. Because lots of people don't know that they had to fight him. They accept the ideas that he put in their mind. And we have to take that position to stand strong. Here is, that's what it's saying here. You know, because the adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You see, but you have the ability not to make that happen. Resist him. So you see, that's the way. Resist him, you actually fight him. Just push him off. If Jesus, you know, God would not have told you to resist him if you couldn't resist him. I mean, if he is, you know, if resistance is futile, like somebody said, you know, well, it's not futile in this case, okay? Because when he resists the right way, he's going to have to, here it says, I'm not saying it myself. You see, said very clearly, okay? Know that the same, you know, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. So, you know, people are going to go through that in the world, but we should be in his kingdom. Amen. If you go to James chapter 4, goes on even further and submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the idea is that we should be able to be successful in pushing him off. He is not so powerful as he wants to show he is. He is more powerful maybe that we are in the flesh, but he is not powerful for us when we are moved with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is inside us. Jesus conquered him, amen. Stripped him of all the power and authority that he had. He has given his authority to us, delegated his authority, and said, you know, go and do the things that you have to do. And so he delegated his authority. He has all the authority and power. Amen. So we should be able to beat the devil off our lawn. Amen?
Amen.
But we had to be wise. We had to be aware. We had to be watchful. We had to be resisting him. And we had to take the proper measure so that we are not tricked by his deception. Because that's the way it works. Okay? He will flee. So let's see a bit more of that. Okay? So some, you know, let's see some of this instruction. You know, in verse 8 of James, continues, says, draw near to God. See, lots of people, when they have problem, you know, they start blaming God. Here it says, you know, don't blame God, draw near to him. Because he's the solution, he's not the problem. He is not the one that gives you the problem. You know, God is not the one that is going to, is punishing you because he put the, you know, if he punishes you, he just ignore or reject what Jesus did. Jesus took the punishment for you. So if he rejects, so he's ignoring what Jesus did. I mean, doesn't make any sense, even from a logical point of view, because that was paid, so he cannot, you cannot pay twice for the same thing.
That's right.
All right. So, draw near to God. Don't run away. Don't complain. You see, that was the problem with Israel all the time. They were complaining. I mean, the complaining implication means that you're really blaming God for what's happening. Because you don't trust him. See, if you trust him, you just know that, okay, you know, what I had to do, go to him, see, draw closer to him so that he gives the wisdom to do the things that you had to do to overcome. Instead of running away and try to fight them by your own strength. By your strength, you can win. You already been beaten up because you are letting him come in. So you take a position and you say, no, in Jesus' name. And you squeeze the way Jesus did when he was tempted. You see, all these things are temptation that the enemy puts on you so that you start blaming God and you get away from God. Instead, you know, if you go to God instead of complaining, then he's going to show you what to do and he's giving you the ability to overcome the enemy. Okay? And he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's what you want. I mean, if God is with you, the devil can't be too much around.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, cleanse your hand, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. You see, this is, you know, sometimes people say, well, I haven't done anything. I haven't, you know, the point is, often we look as only carnal sins. But there are lots of spiritual things that lots of Christians do without even realizing what they are doing. I mean, when you complain, you are actually sinning. Hello? Is it that difficult to do? I mean, have you never complained? Let's be honest. Okay, we all did. We all have done. We all do that sometime. We all say, you know, what's the matter? When instead, if we would be in the right place spiritually, we wouldn't even think that way. So you see, that's an indication of a bondage, of a stronghold that we have inside ourselves that makes us do something that is contrary to the Word of God. He said, you know, the Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That means, you know, that no matter what the situation is,
rejoice.
We should be rejoicing.
Amen.
Well, what, are you crazy that you rejoice when you have a problem? Well, that's the way to overcome. You know, in James chapter 1, it talks about count it all joy.
Amen.
When you are going into temptation, you know, because you are going to overcome.
Amen.
Well, you have to believe that you are going to overcome.
Amen.
Hello? Otherwise, your faith is actually, you are believing in the devil to be able stronger than God and stronger than what the God has done for you. Okay. So, you will draw near to cleanse your hand. So you have to deal with things that actually, you know, anything that is not of faith is sin. We agree with that. That's what the word says. Okay, anything that is not of faith is a sin. Anything that separates you from God is sin. Because anything that, you know, pulls you away from Him is something that, you know, God doesn't like. Okay, so there you are. You see, you can start seeing things that maybe we should change within ourselves. And they can be opening for the enemy to come in and take advantage of us. Okay, so you see, unbelief is one of the major things. I mean, and don't, you know, we all suffer from unbelief. I mean, we say, oh, I believe. Yeah, I want to see the results. From your results, I see how much you believe. But, you know, God has provided us way to overcome that. Many ways. And we're going to see that. Okay, so unbelief, worry. Worry is sin. Because worry is believing in the devil that is going to be more effective than what God promises us. We shouldn't be worried. I mean, there is so many places in the Bible that says, worry not, or don't worry. You know, by waiting with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, bring, you know, and that, you know, and the peace of God. That means the peace of God, when there is peace, there is no worry.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
So the fact that we, you know, when we find ourselves worried, something is wrong with our heart. You see, always it's a question of the heart. And we can't just change our heart like that, but God enables us to change our heart when we do the right thing. Hallelujah. Okay, so purify your heart, and this is what it says there. See, the thing is, you know, Psalm says, you know, Lord, cleanse my heart. The thing is, you know, it just doesn't happen like that. When you come in contact with God, your heart gets cleansed. Okay? But you have a part in getting there.
That's right.
If you do nothing, you know, there's nothing to, you know, say, you know, God, purify my heart, and you do nothing, nothing is going to happen. So you had to seek Him, you had to be open, you had to ask Him, you had to follow His direction, you had to be listening to what He's saying, you had to apply the Word, and so on, and that is going to do it over time, because it's going to show. You know, sometimes we don't even know what's wrong with our heart. Because we just think the way we think because of the experiences we had and the things we've been exposed to. So we don't know often what even is the problem we have. But this is why we need to get closer to God. And as we get closer to God and His light and His understanding and His word start ministering to us, we start finding out the things that we had to clean up. The way, and sometimes it's just thoughts, ideas that actually separate us from God instead of getting even closer to Him. Hallelujah. You know, unforgiveness is another one. But, you know, but sometimes unforgiveness and bitterness, you know, they are very important to deal with, but they are more evident, okay, than the other. But the other one, like, you know, worry and unbelief, you know, worry is probably the most accepted sin of all the Christians. Because most people worry. Because we are in a world that is full of problems. And so unless you have the strength of the Lord inside you, why do you think that the Bible says so many times it says, oh, fear not, worry not, be courageous. You know, Joshua 1:8, you know, all the other, and said it 4 or 5 times there. Why does it have to say it so many times? Because we need to hear it. Okay, because we are bombarded continuously by the enemy, by things, by event. Just turn on the news. It's getting worse all the time. Well, if it's getting worse, we better get stronger. We have to get the strength inside us so that we can fight off. Number one, you turn off the TV. That's a good thing to do anyway. Don't be exposed. The more exposed you are and the more you have to fight these things against. I mean, the enemy comes to you and whispers in your ear anyway. But, you know, if you are even exposed and you make yourself, you know, presence of that, be in the presence of God instead of the presence of the tube. It's going to make a difference in your walk. It's going to be a difference the way you feel about and the way you are going to do things in your life. Anyway, okay, you know, there are many places in the Bible. Even when the Holy Spirit came down, you know, and Peter started talking to the crowd there, you know, he said that, you know, he was quoting from Psalm 16:11, you know, he said, you know, you may know to you that watch the ways of life, he has made known to us the way of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. You see, the thing is, instead of being in the presence of all this problem, we should go in the presence, His presence. When we come together and we start worshiping, His presence come here. It should just lift up all this stuff from us. Then we go out and we are exposed again and just go down again. We should keep it. And should know how to keep it with us. So that we don't go around beaten up and defeated. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go a bit closer to this. You see, the biggest issue of the body of Christ, of believers, is unbelief. Okay. In John chapter 16, verse 8, you know, it gives us one indication of the work of the Holy Spirit. So when that one comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. You see, and the fact is, you know, these are different areas in which the Holy Spirit is going to deal with us. Concerning sin, we generally apply these, you know, the big sins that everybody knows that are bad, you know, killing, stealing, or whatever, you know. And that's fine. But if you are a believer, you should have overcome some of those things already. You know that that's wrong. But when it comes to unbelief, lots of people don't even realize that they sin. And they don't even know that they have unbelief. So this is why you need the Holy Spirit inside you to bring you revelation that you actually don't believe. And then, you know, the following verse here that I was reading, you know, concerning sin, because you do not believe on me. See, or the same thing, Jesus is the Word, so if you do not believe the Word, you don't believe the Word. So, you know, for example, if you are sick and the Word says by His stripes you were healed, you believe more, well, you know, I have the symptoms on, so I believe the symptoms and I don't believe the fact that Jesus healed me. That's unbelief. And it's very difficult from a mental point of view to believe. Because your senses are screaming at you. Your feelings, everything, your logic, your things, what everybody else says, you know, all those things are talking to you more loud than the Word is talking to you. Well, you know, if you want to start experiencing the supernatural, then the supernatural should become more important than the natural. That means what God said, which is a supernatural word, is supernatural, should be more important than the physical things around you. Amen?
Amen.
I got one or two amen. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, some of the things that to come into the fullness of the kingdom require an effort. The kingdom is taken by force, not by just sitting down and say, God is going to do it.
Right.
Lots of people wait on God when God is waiting on them.
Amen.
I always remember, you know, when I was starting, wanted to go into the ministry and I wanted a sign from God, you know, and, you know, I went for prayer and, you know, this meeting. And the Lord brought me there, you know, supernaturally I got there, but I got there and I went to be prayed for. I didn't say anything. I went there and he says, pray for me. And the guy looked at me and says, the Lord say, you know, you've been waiting for me, I've been waiting for you. I hadn't said anything to him. And I was right. I knew it. Okay? So the idea is the fact that, you know, that was really what I was dealing with, and I wanted a confirmation. But lots of us, lots of times, we wait on God to do something. You know, people needing healing, sometimes they wait on God to heal them. God is waiting on them to believe, because that's the way He's going to heal them. Okay. Are you still here?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So, I'm not going to read the other part of the verse, but, you know, the idea is, you know, Jesus, in Jesus' ministry, you know, so how many times He rebuked the apostles on one issue, of your little faith. He didn't rebuke them on many other things. That was the issue all the time. See, actually, the thing, it wasn't so much their little faith that was there. It's because the faith that they had was counteracted with the greater unbelief. You don't need much faith to get results. Jesus said it very clearly, you know? You know, when He went to raise Lazarus, if you remember, everybody was complaining, oh, you know, you took your time and he's dead. If you would have been here, he wouldn't be dead. You remember what happened? And what did Jesus say? I'll read it to you. Okay? It says, and Jesus answered them, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? And then he prayed for Lazarus. Lazarus came out from the tomb and says, you know, they didn't even want to open the tomb because it was stinking after 3 days. Hello?
Yeah.
So he knew what he was doing. And he said, you know, Lord, Father, you know, so that they know, you know, that you send me, I'm going to pray. And they know the little prayer, you know, he never did. Father, you know, ask Father the things to do because He already asked before. He knew what God wanted Him to do. Okay? But He said that so that they could hear it. That's what the word says. So that they could hear and understand. And then says, Lazarus, come out. All right? So, see, the thing is, we often look more at the problem than really look in the circumstances. Then we look really at the word and the solution. Because the word has the solution. If we have a bondage, the word gives us the solution. And if sometimes we have to apply properly, and the Holy Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us into all truth. Bring us to all truth. One part of that is to see the things that we need to do and the things we need to change within ourselves. Hallelujah. And when we focus on the problem and the circumstances instead of the word, this is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. You are falling in his trick. You see, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, it says, take heed. You know, that means be careful about this. This is important to look at. You know, since a promise remained of entering into the rest, let us fear lest anyone seem to be short of it. So you see, come short of it. So the idea is that we come short of coming into the rest. When we are at rest, that means we know, even before we get the solution, that it's ours. We are not struggling anymore. We are just peaceful inside. There is peace inside us. Okay. All right. Take heed. The enemy would... I think I skipped the things. Okay. I skipped the verse that I had to say, read before. Sorry. But it's good anyway. She's short of it. So we go back to Hebrews 3:12. It says, take heed. Yeah, I skipped. I was starting to read a verse and then I passed on another. All right. Brothers, lest be any in any of you be an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. You see, unbelief is due or is connected to an evil heart. An evil heart separates us from God. So you say, you know, could you see that this is a big problem? Okay, so he says, you know, take watch, be careful about that, because this is really the major problem that we all have when we don't get things from God. See, when we don't get things from God, it's because there is, in one way or another, unbelief in us. That means, you know, what unbelief is not that it's non-believing. Unbelief is believing something that is contrary to what the Word of God says. So, if the Word of God says, by stripes you were healed, you don't believe that you by stripes you were healed, you believe, you know, I'm sick. I mean, God is not healing me. I mean, you can have symptoms, but doesn't mean that God is not healing you. The power of God can be working on you, and you still have symptoms. Sometimes, they lay hand on the sick, and they shall recover. It doesn't seem that necessarily everything has to be instantaneous. They will recover. So if they will recover, then the power of God is working on the person, and it's taking some time to change the things that are happening there. But essentially, the healing started already. Okay. So, we should not come short of it. We should realize, you know, that... But it's really difficult sometimes to believe the right thing. I didn't make that rule. And don't go and complain with him because he knows what he's doing. Yeah. All right? He knows that that's the way. This is what Abraham took him 40 years to get anywhere. Okay? Because there were things that needed to be resolved within him. Okay? But it did. He held on, and that's what we had to do. We had to hold on. We had to become overcomers. Okay? So, see, let me continue there on the verse, Hebrews 4, that I was reading before, verse 2. For indeed, the gospel, okay, this is talking about, referring to Israel. How Israel, were in the desert for 40 years when they could have avoided all those 40 years of being in the desert. They had already arrived there and they could have come into the land. But because of their unbelief, they were wandering for 40 years. Most of that generation, actually all that generation except for two, died before. Why? Because of unbelief. Okay. So, here is explaining why. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the idea is that when you hear the word, you have to mix it with faith. What does it mean to mix it with faith? It means you believe it. You just take it, what it says, and you say, okay, that's the truth. And, you know, if you have evidence contrary to the truth, you say, well, this is, you know, something that this has to be changed. This is not what God wants, and he's going to change it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, praise the Lord. You see, what you believe or not believe, you should write that down. What you believe or not believe always produces a manifestation. It works in the positive and in the negative. Always produces a manifestation. By itself, just that idea should empower you and motivate you to work on certain things of your thinking, or maybe in your experience. Hallelujah. See, this is why Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, you know, but for the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence or taken by force. Okay? And the violent take it by force. So the idea is that you had to seize it. You had to, you know, the enemy tries to take it away. You had to really grab it. See, receiving, the word receiving in Greek is lambano, which actually means to grasp. Okay. Lazy or weak, you cannot be a Christian, a victorious Christian being weak. You had to be strong. This is why, you know, this is why Joshua, you know, got into the land. And God told, reinforce that. Be strong, very strong. Be very courageous. That means, you know, if you are courageous, doesn't matter if you, you know, have some things in your stomach. You just go ahead and just get in anyway.
Amen?
Amen. You don't let yourself be pushed around by the circumstances. You push the circumstances off your way. Especially when you know what God's way is and you just follow his way.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So you had to take it by force. So, you know, that's why in James that I read before, 4:7 says, you know, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I mean, you resist the devil is almost, I prefer to say fight the devil. But he's not fighting in the flesh. He's fighting with the word, fighting in the spirit. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual situation. It's a spiritual combat. And we have given weapons that are powerful against spiritual forces. We had to realize the weapons that we have, and we had to use those weapons, because when we use those weapons, instead of trying to do it in our own strength, we get victory. All the time. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And he promised the victory. The promises of God are yea and amen for those who believe, for those in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's getting hot here. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Well, fight, resist, oppose the devil, and he will flee. Remember that. Don't give up. Giving up is how you lose. Accepting it is how you lose. You see, this is the way it works. You know, whatever you accept, it's yours. Amen. We can break any old bondages now, not sometime in the future. See, that's part of faith. Faith is now. So to break the bondage, you have to break the bondage now. You have to believe that now you can break them. You have to believe now is the kingdom. You have to believe now you have the victory. Say, so, well, what are all these problems? Just start taking the victory. Just start believing. Just take a scripture that applies to your situation. You know, the time is gone. Slow down. I wanted to go into that. I wanted to go how to actually you take the victory. How to practically do the work that needs to be done. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That means we have to mean business.
Yes.
Do you mean business?
Yes.
Okay, but then, you know, if you mean business, it has to be shown by what you do. Because it's a reflection. You see, what we believe, we do. Acting on our faith is the most, is the key thing that gives us the victory. Hallelujah. Well, I think that we had to close for today. I knew it. But that's okay. There is another week. Amen? I think we should make a confession here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord... I am a believer.
I am not a doubter.
I believe the word.
I believe
that what Jesus did is enough to set me free. And if he made me free,
I am free indeed.
I receive my freedom. And I thank him for everything that he has done. And I forget not all his benefits. He forgave all my iniquities. He healed all my diseases. He renewed my life from destruction. He satisfied me with the good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. And I thank you, Father, for that. And I receive it. I give you all the honor and the glory to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.